Welcome into the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com. I'm your host, Grayson Grunhafer. Today, I'm joined by Baylor men's tennis coach Michael Woodson. Coach, thank you so much for joining today. It's been a really fun season. We're getting close to the end here. I just kind of want to just get your overall thoughts. What has this season been like for you? How much has it been just a great season to see these guys really peaking at the right time?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here. It's great. I mean, we're enjoying the ride. I would say the group of guys we have is very special. It's a nice mix of youth, experience, and talent. And so we're just gelling well together on and off the court. They have a ton of belief in themselves. And I think the biggest thing this year is that they've realized they can beat anybody in the country. And that has been a step in the right direction. I would say over the last couple of years, we've made strong cultural and talent moves in to where we've gotten to this point now. And now it's been about them understanding what the consistency looks like of being an elite team and how you have to show up every single day. And so it's been a really fun process to work through that with them and to see them, you know, playing their best tennis at the most important time of the year is exciting.
So when you go back to the beginning of the year and kind of where you're at now, what would you say y'all have excelled at and where have you struggled and kind of how has that come together here towards the end?
Yeah, I think, you know, at the beginning of the year, we were hungry and we were the hunters to prove ourselves, to prove that we deserve to be a top 10 team to compete for championships. And we were able to do that early on. And then we had this shift after making the semifinals of National Indoors and getting up and, you know, to six in the country. I think then we shifted to being the hunted. And that was difficult for our guys. That was a new thing that they had to learn and understand of just the pressure and the expectations and what it looked like, you know, from team to team and match to match. And so I feel like struggled a little bit in the middle and then have learned kind of what that looks like to go in as the hunter or the hunted. And the consistency has really come a long way for our guys individually and as a team. And then I think maybe from a tennis perspective, our doubles has improved from the beginning of the year to the end. We thought at the beginning we were just very good at doubles. I think our guys a little bit took it for granted. And so they, you know, to their credit, they've put in a ton of focused, intentional work on it. And that's really helped us, I would say, over the last few weeks.
So I've watched Baylor men's tennis since I was in school, covered it for, you know, a long while as well. And scheduling has never been a problem. Baylor always schedules one of the toughest. I mean, it is always a gauntlet. And then, of course, you know, the Big 12 is a gauntlet in general. So four Big 12 teams in the Sweet 16. You've also faced, I believe, seven of the Sweet 16 teams, maybe eight. And you've had to play TCU three times, had to play Texas, played SMU, who just lost. You know, San Diego is in the Sweet 16 as well. Y'all played them. How important is it in your eyes that y'all got challenged so much coming into this and kind of probably aren't going to see anything you haven't seen so far this year?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Our guys come here to play the best, to be the best. And so we want to have as good of a schedule as anybody's every year. And I think the Big 12 having nine men's tennis schools gives us some flexibility to go out and play the best from other conferences, which is fun. It's a challenge. I think it wears on the guys over time. And it's definitely a balance of making sure to test them and playing the best schedule, but also giving them time to recover, train, prepare for what's ahead. And so it's never perfect, but, you know, I think it definitely works out to play. I was looking through the round of 16 teams, and there's not very many we haven't played. We're playing somebody, you know, Friday that we've already played. And then if we win, it doesn't matter which team wins, we're going to play somebody we've already played again. It's very familiar for us, which I think it really does help these guys to just know what's out there and what to expect. And if we're going to excel and pursue championships, then we need to be, you know, competing with the best and seeing where they're at so that we can try to reach those heights.
So y'all are 12-2 down the stretch of this season. It's been a really nice shift, building a lot of momentum going into the postseason. Is there anything that you feel like you've changed as a coach during this stretch? Are there any lineup changes that you feel like have been really important? Or do you think it's literally just kind of these guys shifting their mentality a little bit?
We haven't made too many changes. And to be honest, anytime I change the lineup, it usually doesn't work out that well. And so I can think of a couple of times over the last few years where it actually, when we go back, guys eventually settle into the role that they're in. We made a doubles change early on, shifting teams around, and as Calvin has gotten healthy, he's gone into our doubles lineup and they've had a ton of success there. But besides doubles, flipping a guys here or there, we haven't really changed much. I think it's more just understanding their goals, what they need to accomplish on a day-to-day basis in practice, and then how do they take that from practice into the match and then actually doing it and being as consistent and focused as they can possibly be. And the Big 12 in particular, even though some of the teams, obviously we've got the top teams in the country, but even though some of the teams are maybe not as strong, they compete in really difficult circumstances. So altitude, wind, heat. I mean, we've been through all kinds of crazy conditions. And I think that forces our guys into really being committed to who they are and concentrating for a really long time with expectation of, hey, I'm supposed to win and this is really hard. So how am I going to handle it? I think that's really trained them to play a little bit better and back themselves in pressure situations, which I feel like we saw last weekend.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you, because that was the main lineup change that I've kind of seen is, and it's not, obviously it happened a while ago, but Devin and Calvin have really been great on the three line for doubles. Y'all are 8-2 in the last 10 in doubles in general. And I do feel like that line three being as solid and just as consistent as they have been has been really key for y'all.
Yes, it's been really important. I think, Devin does a good job of leading, being, probably the best player in the facility every time he walks out. To put him at three doubles, I think it gives, it gives Calvin a ton of confidence and allows him to play free. And he's a young, talented player that, that complements Devin really well. And they play with a lot of intensity and competitiveness, and they play the right way. They're very coachable. I think it really frees up our top two teams because they feel like we have an edge at three. I've said it a couple times already. I'll say it again. I think we have three teams that could play one doubles. It's just about getting the personalities into the right place. And Z and Alex have really owned the number one position and have worked hard at it. And they've been improving every day. And then Con and Luke do really well in the middle, very talented, complement each other well. And so it wasn't what I thought was going to work at first, being willing to shift and adjust over time, I think is what the team needs. And they're clicking now.
I think it's relatively obvious that winning doubles gives you an advantage, but for this team in particular, how important is it for y'all to win these doubles points, especially as, if you go deeper than even this round, to just make sure that you get that point early on?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we lived off of winning four singles matches for 2 months. Our biggest wins of the year have come without the doubles point. Texas A&M, Wake Forest, Ohio State, we lost the doubles point. We came back and won four singles matches. And so we have a mentality of 1-0 down and we're going to go out and own our court in singles. But it really does feel like if we win the doubles point, it's really, really hard to win four singles points against us. And I think we have a complete lineup up and down. There's no holes, especially now all the guys are playing, as well or better than they have the whole season. And so it's just a big momentum piece, especially at home.
So when I was in school, there was a really good player named Julian Lenz who was just phenomenal. I mean, the guy just was an automatic point every time, it felt like. And then in 2022, Adrian Boyton was phenomenal as well. And so those two guys took home Player of the Year in the Big 12. And I believe it was this week or last week, Devin got Co-Player of the Year honors in the Big 12. Can you just talk about how special this year has been from him? And like, Baylor men's tennis has had some great players, and he is now kind of he's in that category. What's it been like watching him, and how special is he as a player?
Yeah, I mean, our history and tradition is maybe unmatched. I mean, it's incredible the quality of player that's come through. And so when we put out the graphic of our eight Big 12 players of the year that have come, and obviously Benedict Dorsch, who's the best player that's ever played here, he won it three times. And so Devin's the sixth guy that has won it. That's incredibly elite company. To be, you know, named one of the best players in the conference is high praise. It comes along with having a great season, and obviously I felt like he was deserving. He went undefeated in the regular season in singles and doubles in the conference. He went undefeated in the conference tournament as well, and so that's just really hard to do when you have other top 10 players in the country that he's playing every day. But his growth has been immense. From last year, he felt like he got exposed to playing number one. And he had some good results, but he also struggled to get over the hump against the top 10 players in the country. But he's really used that feedback this past season to really develop, you know, on the court, to work on his body and make sure he could sustain in those tough moments, you know, that really separate guys from wins and losses at the number one spot. And it makes a huge difference for the whole team. I mean, to walk out there and know, hey, we have the best guy in the facility playing number one singles, it trickles down to the rest of the team and it gives us a ton of confidence.
Okay, so let's fast forward to where we're at now. Y'all just knocked off Tulsa and number 22 Auburn over this past weekend. How proud of you were of the guys were you? How cool was it for them? I mean, was this something that, I mean, I feel like y'all expected to win these games, but was this something that meant a lot to them to get back to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, it definitely meant a lot to them. They, you know, this group hasn't been there yet in the last couple of years, and so the opportunity to host was important. And then, how were we going to handle it? You know, and I thought that they passed that with flying colors. I challenged them after Friday, the Tulsa match, who a difficult team to play, a confident team that had just won the American Conference, going into Saturday, and I thought they did a really nice job. We, you know, we've been saying it all year. We're not in this tournament to participate. We're in it to win the tournament. And I think you get into this round and you can see we have an opportunity to do that. We're within striking distance on any given day, but so are many other teams. Auburn is incredibly talented, played in the SEC, beat top 10 teams this year multiple times. And so, you know, you have to be ready to play, and there is real pressure there of, you know, this could be our last match and we're fighting for each other and the opportunity to advance in the tournament. And I thought our guys did a great job and are excited to be together for a few more days, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Now you get to take on Pepperdine, number 27 team in the nation. You'll actually beat them on March 15th, 4-1. I mean, took the doubles, 6-1 and 6-2, plus strong results, you know, in other areas. What happened in that matchup? And does it kind of help you a little bit in planning for this one?
I mean, I think it gives you a little bit of confidence, but also it's tough to play a team for a second time, you know, anywhere. I thought Pepperdine was a little bit tired when we played them the previous time. They had played Arizona State 4-3 last match on. Both guys were cramping at number two singles to end that match. Guys were cramping on three. The conditions were hot and very different than what they will be here. They had just come off of a long road trip to the East Coast and came in and played us at Indian Wells. And so, you know, they've won a lot recently. They're confident. Obviously, they went into Baton Rouge and beat, you know, they're the only top eight seed that got knocked off. I mean, that's a heck of an effort from Pepperdine after losing the doubles point. And so, you know, we have to be ready to go. I think it's going to be really difficult. You know, we did a very nice job against them the first time, and it looks like we may end up having, you know, five of the same matchups in singles. But, you know, they're confident. They've won a ton recently. I would like to think we've done the same, but it's going to be a really tough match. I know they're ranked a little bit lower. They, you know, weren't supposed to advance by seeding to this, but if you're in the round of 16, you're a legit team, and you can make a run all the way to the end. And we've always thought that about them. Very well coached, very talented, you know, and so they're putting it together at the right time.
Are there any specific areas where they present a really big challenge, or where they might, you know, kind of have an advantage or a perceived advantage against y'all?
I just think that they're well balanced throughout their singles lineup. You know, they have the talent at the top, you know, to two or three spots to match up with guys like Devin Z and Connor. And then they have guys at, I think, 5 and 6 that have won 8, 9, 10 matches in a row down there. And so, you know, they've got a balanced group. They're somewhat experienced. I mean, they've got a couple sophomores and a freshman playing, but they've, you know, got seniors, juniors in that lineup that have played in big matches before. And so I feel like that was an edge we had last weekend over Auburn, as they were pretty young. And you could maybe see it in the big moments that we played a little bit more courageous than them. But you know, we won't see that, I think, from Pepperdine. Those guys have proven it and have been through it. And so that experience, I think, will serve them well. You know, but I would like to think we have the same.
Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but it feels like going into this matchup, you're definitely the hunted since you beat Pepperdine. But then in the next round, if y'all do advance, you'll face a team that beat y'all earlier in the year. And then it's kind of like the hunter approach a little bit there. Is that kind of a weird dynamic, knowing that in this pocket of four, you kind of have teams that you're very familiar with, teams that Pepperdine's familiar with? I mean, San Diego won their conference. So kind of a weird foursome here going into this round.
It is. I mean, the three Texas schools that are hosting are all playing schools from California. So it is unusual. We have a ton of familiarity with this group. You know, obviously it would be amazing to be able to play against the winner of Texas and San Diego, but we're trying to stay focused on the task at hand in Pepperdine. And it, certainly they have nothing to lose, you know, but I would say neither did Auburn or Tulsa. And so we handled that well. You know, I think we just need to continue to focus on ourselves and what we can control and trying to get better every day, and then enjoy the opportunity to play at home on Friday. I mean, that was something we didn't think we were going to get. So we're all very excited about that.
Can you talk about just the importance for the program, for yourself, for these guys, but I would say the program in general, to get back to a Final Eight, to get back to a Final Four?
I mean, I think it's just a special run. You know, I'll never forget, I was standing with Kenny Boyd the night after we beat Tennessee in the semis. We were playing the finals next day, and he just put his arm around me and said, "Michael, just, you know, don't take this for granted. It doesn't happen every year. And, you know, it may never happen again." And he was saying it from a point of compliment and, you know, a congratulations to us and to the guys. But it's easy to get caught up in the day to day and, you know, and miss the big picture of how special these opportunities are. And so I think it's important for these guys because they work so hard every day and to represent our program, our athletic department, our university at the highest level. Like, you know, a couple of them stopped and were really excited to say, "Hey, we're going to, you know, we've got these signs that are up in the Hurd Tennis Center that it starts at the round of 16, you know, top 10 final ranking, round of 16 court." They're like, our team is going to be up there now, you know, and we've done something as a group that will be remembered forever. And I think they work too hard to not get that recognition. So for me, I just love the opportunity to spend more time with them. And the longer that we can go, the more opportunity we have to be together. And I know they value that, but that's probably my favorite part. But for them, they want to be remembered. They want to create their own legacy and history. And so for them to be able to do that as a group, you know, especially in the world that we live in today, I mean, we've had four guys that have only – the graduating seniors have only ever played at Baylor. And I think that's really special given whatever is happening to college athletics.
Yeah. Lots of changes. Definitely lots of interesting things going on in college athletics. That is for sure. Coach, I saw yesterday, there's a promo that went out for free admission, free food, all kinds of really cool stuff to pack the Hurd going into this matchup on Friday, May 8th at the Hurd Tennis Center. Talk to the fans. What do you want to see from the home crowd? Are you trying to see an advantage there?
I would love to see an advantage. I mean, we love playing in front of our fans. It is a huge lift. It's a shot in the arm of adrenaline and excitement. And there's just so much pressure that you can apply to the opposing team. They are playing by themselves, holding a racket, having to produce very fine motor skill work, point after point after point. And it's hard to deal with the noise and the intensity and the excitement of the opposing fans, you know, from start to finish of the match. So it makes a huge difference for us. It keeps our guys excited and motivated when they want to get frustrated over their own games. And so we love having a great crowd. And I'll be honest, Grayson, this is the best match of the whole season. I think it's the best round. It's the last one that's hosted at the home site. So the team is going to be playing there. It's prime time on a Friday night in the NCAA tournament. When whoever advances from this match whether it's Pepperdine or Baylor or San Diego or Texas, they're going to be playing at a neutral site in Athens, Georgia, and there just won't be that many fans there. The last two times we've hosted this, in 2019 against UCLA and 2022 against Stanford, we had almost 2,000 fans there. It was the coolest thing I've ever experienced, even maybe up until playing in the finals against Florida when that place was packed because Florida played in it. It's a really special thing. Hopefully the weather behaves. I mean, indoors, outdoors, either way, it's going to be a really special environment. Our marketing and fan engagement team, our sports information facilities, they've done an incredible job of putting together just an awesome evening for a family environment for students, and we've had dedicated fan base the whole year. So hopefully we can pull in a few more and break our attendance record on Friday night. I think it will be fun for everybody, and it certainly would be a huge lift for the guys.
Definitely. If you've never been to a Baylor men's tennis match before, you definitely need to go. It is a whole lot of fun. There have been some great moments. I know when I was in college, there were some just crazy fans. I mean, just a crazy atmosphere, kind of exactly what you're looking for on Friday night. So be sure to go check out the Bears. Thank you, Coach, for joining this week. Hopefully we'll be able to do this again next week if you'll advance past this round and against Pepperdine. I appreciate you joining the show today.
No, thanks again for having me. We'd love to do it same time next week.
Perfect. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com.
Join Sikkim365 Premium on a $1 for 1 month trial to read our experts' notes and insights. Know about high school commits, off-season transfers, coaching staff changes, and so much more before the rest. Also, download the Sikkim365 app on your iPhone today to get instant notifications of breaking news, read up on the latest inside info, easily interact with other Baylor fans on our forums, and get alerts for anything published by your favorite staff members.